Eshonai had always told her sister that she was certain something wonderful lay over the next hill. Then one day she'd crested a hill and found humans. She'd always imagined humans, as sung of in the songs, as dark, formless monsters. Instead, they were wonderful, bizarre creatures. They spoke with no discernible rhythm. They wore clothing more vibrant than carapace, but couldn't grow their own armor. They were so terrified of the storms that even when traveling, they hid inside vehicles. Most remarkably, they had only one form. She first assumed the humans must have forgotten their forms, much as the listeners once had. That built an instant kinship between them. Now, over a year later, Eshonai hummed to the rhythm of awe as she helped unload drums from the cart. They'd traveled a great distance to see the human homeland, and each step had overwhelmed her further. That experience culminated here, in this incredible city of Kolinar and its magnificent palace. This cavernous unloading dock on the western side of the palace was so large, 200 listeners had packed in here after their first arrival and still hadn't filled the place. Indeed, most of the listeners couldn't attend the feast upstairs, where the treaty between their two peoples was being witnessed. But the Alethi had seen to their refreshment anyway, providing mountains of food and drink for the group down here. She stepped out of the wagon, looking around the loading dock, humming to excitement. When she'd told Venli she was determined to map the world, she'd imagined a place of natural discovery. Canyons and hills, forests and lakes overgrown with life. Yet all along, this had been out here, waiting just beyond their reach, along with more listeners. When Eshonai had first met the humans, she'd seen the little listeners they had with them. A hapless tribe who were trapped in dull form. Eshonai had assumed the humans were taking care of the poor souls without songs. Oh, how innocent those first meetings had been. Those captive listeners had not been merely some small tribe, but instead representative of an enormous population, and the humans had not been caring for them. The humans owned them. A group of these parshmen, as they were called, clustered around the outside of Eshonai's ring of workers.
"They keep trying to help," Gitgeth said to Curiosity.
He shook his head, his beard sparkling with ruby gemstones that matched the prominent red colors of his skin.
"The little rhythmless ones want to be near us. They sense that something is wrong with their minds, I tell you."
Eshonai handed him a drum from the back of the cart, then hummed to Curiosity herself. She hopped down and approached the group of parshmen.
"You aren't needed," she said to Peace, spreading her hands. "We would prefer to handle our own drums."
The ones without songs looked at her with dull eyes.
"Go," she said to Pleading, waving toward the nearby festivities, where listeners and human servants laughed together, despite the language barrier.
Humans clapped along to listeners singing the old songs.
"Enjoy yourselves."
A few looked toward the singing and cocked their heads, but they didn't move.
"It won't work,"
Brianlia said to Skepticism, resting her arms across a drum nearby. "They simply can't imagine what it is to live. They're pieces of property to be bought and sold."
"What to make of this idea? Slaves?"
Clade, one of the five, had gone to the slavers in Kolinar and purchased a person to see if it truly was possible. He hadn't even bought a parchman. There had been a Lethi for sale. Apparently the parchmen were expensive and considered high-quality slaves. The listeners had been told this as if it were supposed to make them proud. She hummed to Curiosity and nodded to the side, looking toward the others. Gitgeth smiled and hummed to Peace, waving for her to go. Everyone was used to Eshonai wandering off in the middle of jobs. It wasn't that she was unreliable. Well, perhaps she was, but at least she was consistent.
Regardless, she'd be wanted at the king's celebration soon, anyway. She was one of the best among the listeners at the dull human tongue, which she'd taken to naturally. It was an advantage that had earned her a place on this expedition, but it was also a problem. Speaking the human tongue made her important, and people who grew too important couldn't be allowed to go off chasing the horizon. She left the unloading bay and walked up the steps into the palace proper, trying to take in the ornamentation, the artistry, the sheer overwhelming wonder of the building. Beautiful and terrible. People who were bought and sold maintained this place. But was that what freed the humans to create great works, like the carvings on the pillars she passed, or the inlaid marble patterns on the floor? She passed soldiers wearing their artificial carapace. Esh and I didn't have armor of her own at the moment. She wore work form instead of war form, as she liked its flexibility. Humans didn't have a choice. They hadn't lost their forms, as she'd first assumed. They only had one. Forever in mate form, work form, and war form all at once. And they wore their emotions on their faces far more than listeners. Oh, Esh and I's people would smile, laugh, cry. But not like these Alethi.